In Luke chapter 12, in response to a request from the crowd, Jesus had been asked to be an arbiter between two brothers. And he told the parable of the rich but foolish farmer, to whom God says at the end of the parable, "Fool, this day your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." It's a rather simple, straightforward parable about focusing on eternity and what really matters. And the reminder is, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And so the question that comes to us, particularly as the people of God, is, in the light of eternity, what is to be the focus of our lives? In the light of eternity, what is to be the focus of our lives? It's a question to which Jesus returns many times. And in Luke chapter 16, he addresses this question in a number of different ways. To those who are lovers of money, who heard and ridiculed him, Jesus says, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. What is exalted among men is abomination in the sight of God." And then Jesus rammed home his point as he told the story of the rich man and Lazarus, a story that turned all the social norms upside down. He just ruined their expectations. And he also addresses the issue, but this time with his disciples, in verses 1 to 13 of chapter 16. How are we as the people of God to live our lives? What is to be the focus of our attention? But first, let me put to you a question. It is a question that's raised in the very beginning of the Heidelberg Catechism, written in 1563. So it's an old question, but it's a relevant question. What is your only comfort in life and in death? What is to be the focus and the source of all your solace, strength, hope, comfort in life and in death? And the answer the Heidelberg Catechism gives is not a $1 million-plus superannuation fund. Nor is it, according to Luke 16, a great crowd of people who owe you favours. That's the crooked manager. The answer to the question, what is your only comfort in life and in death, is simply, it's quite a long answer. That I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ, who, with his precious blood, has fully satisfied for all my sins and redeemed me from the power of the devil. And so he preserves me, that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Yes, and that all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. It's this focus that must shape our lives here and now. But as Jesus speaks to his disciple then, and as he speaks to us now, he very bluntly says, "You guys are thick." He says, "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. The non-Christians are more diligent, more shrewd, more prudent in looking to their future, even though it's got a limited perspective. They're more shrewd. That is, they make better use of their earthly opportunities for their own good, for their own lifetime. Non-Christians, more diligent, more shrewd, more prudent in looking to their future than the Christian, the son of light. We're called to be smart, to be clever, to be wise, to use what God has given to us for our good. True wisdom, according to Jesus, has an eternal perspective. And this has a profound effect and influence upon our use of wealth. In the light of eternity, what is to be the focus of our lives? It's like that story back in Luke 12 with the rich farmer. He said, look, I've got it made. Good crops. I've built bigger barns and I've good crops. I can sit back and enjoy life. Eat, drink and be merry. Or as the crafty manager in Luke 16 says, look, as he's caught in his master's audit and he looks for a way for himself and his future, is there more? Should there be more? Is there a better, a wiser, smarter way to think through life? I'll go back to another old question. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, written about 80 years after the Heidelberg Catechism, so still very old, but still very relevant. It begins by saying, what's the chief end of man? What is to be the focus of our lives? What is to be that which we aim at all the time? What is to capture our imagination and shape the way we live? What is to be the chief end of man? And it answers by saying, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. What is to be the focus of our lives? What's to be that thing that shapes the way we live today so that tomorrow is different? What is to be the focus of our lives? God, his will and purpose, his eternal kingdom. And we need to sort of write that in big letters upon our heads, upon our hearts, so we can keep thinking about it all the time. In Luke 16, we meet this crafty manager, funds manager. He was the administrator, the manager of all his master's assets. He was more than the accountant, more than the manager. He looked after everything. It was all at his disposal. Yet he was not faithful. He was, according to reports, wasting his master's possessions, squandering it upon himself. And it's the same description that's used of the prodigal son when this prodigal son goes off and spends his money here, there, and everywhere. And the crafty funds manager is caught in his master's audit. And looking out for himself, he cooks the books to provide for himself a comfortable retirement. He develops a whole crowd of people who owe him favours that he might be comfortable. From his limited view of reality, he acts for himself. He's concerned about what will happen in a few weeks' time, what happened in a few months' time, how long he can keep up this level of comfort. But the disciple of Jesus is to be different. Not dumb or careless, but with a different focus. Not so much on next week or the month after that or even the year after that, but a different focus. A focus on his heavenly Father, a focus on eternity. And that will shape the way we live in the present. And that's why Jesus can say, no man can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot have two focuses. You're going to walk and split yourself and you're going to be psychotic. You can only serve one or the other. Our love for God is to make us, the disciple of Jesus, different. Not dumb or careless, but rather with a different focus. A focus on our Heavenly Father, a focus on eternity. And human wealth then becomes a tool for eternity. And a measure of Christian faithfulness. And Jesus says, if you've not been faithful with unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you true riches? True riches? That which is true. That which is real, not effervescent. Earthly riches are neither true, nor do they last. Doesn't Jesus say, don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, but and where thieves break in and steal? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus tells this rather weird parable to his disciples about the shrewd manager. It's strange. There are all sorts of things that are a little bit bewildering in it. But he shows us that the people around us, the people of this world, are often more shrewd, more forward-looking than the people on whom the light of eternity has shone and is shining. And the lesson for us is quite simple. A faithful steward, a child of light, will use what the master has given us, will use his master's money shrewdly to provide true riches for eternity. Over the past 30-odd years, I've done, I don't know how many funerals. And, you know, you sort of see the coffin, you know that they can't take it with them. But Jesus is saying in this parable, there is a way you can take it with you. By wisely investing the resources God has entrusted to you now in things that matter for eternity. You can't, as it were, sow a few dollars in the back pocket. But you can use what God has given to you, what God has entrusted to you in such a way that you'll be welcomed into your eternal destiny. In Luke 16, Jesus tells two parables, the unrighteous steward and the rich man and Lazarus, to show that God's perspective and on riches and our perspective are often diametrically opposed. And if we want to be truly rich, we need God's perspective on money. As I was thinking through the sermon preparing, I came across a number of short stories or quotes, and I'd like to bring them to you. G. Campbell Morgan, he's a turn of the 19th century preacher. He wrote this: many years ago, I remember in the home of a very wealthy man who was a church member and a Christian. One morning at family prayers, he was eloquent and tender as he prayed for the salvation of the heathen and for the missionaries. And he was startled beyond measure when the prayer was over, when one of his boys, a lad of 10, said to him, "Dad, I'd like to hear you pray for the missionaries." And he answered, "I am glad you do, my boy." And the boy replied, "But do you know what I was thinking when you were praying? If I had your bank book, I would answer half your prayers." The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on that foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is built, burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." What is your only comfort in life and in death? Not $1 million-plus super. Well, that's important. Nor is it, according to Luke 16, a great crowd of people who will take you in, owe you favours. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth," Jesus said, "where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." We're called to refocus our lives, to refocus our efforts, to think through what is really important. In the 1950s, a group of young men flew into Ecuador to be missionaries to this tribe. And as they initiated contact, after a great deal of prayer and planning, they were all killed. And one of them, Jim Elliot, wrote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. John Wesley wrote this. His motto concerning money was, make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. C.T. Studer, an early missionary to Africa, wrote, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Or to put it in modern terms, there's a Scottish migrant to the States, a man by the name of Alistair Begg, who wrote this in a sermon on Luke 16. Do you work for God's kingdom with the same earnestness, tirelessness and vigour with which you pursue daily endeavours like sports, hobbies, careers and relationships? With the power of the shrewd manager, Christ rebuked and admonished his lukewarm followers, who were concerned more with earthly success than with pleasing their Creator. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. It's the time of judgment. And he separates people, some for heaven, some for hell. And he will say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the answer is, well, Lord, when did we do this? And he said, inasmuch as you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. Jesus urges his followers, he urges us, not to use the materials of this world in a wicked way, but rather to use them for noble ends, to refocus our lives, to focus our lives, our efforts in the light of eternity. What is the chief end of man? What is to be the focus of our lives? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. What is to be the focus of our lives? God, his will, his purpose, his eternal kingdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we see what happens around us, it's so easy for us to be fooled and to walk along with other people in exactly the same way of life. But you have called us to be clever, to be smart, to be shrewd, to invest in eternity. Help us to refocus our lives, on the God who has given to us in Jesus Christ every spiritual blessing. And this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.